Wild Bill Hickok. When it comes to Western history, it's sometimes extremely difficult to separate fact from fiction, because the East Coast, and particularly Harper's Monthly, would publish all kinds of accounts of what was going on in the West, and embellishing them and making them different from what the realities were. So it wouldn't be uncommon to find any book on or topics about Hickok and Jesse James and other people and find different versions of the same event. So I'm going to give you a little quick background to Wild Bill, because he is probably the most manipulated of all of the great Wild West gentlemen. Now, he's born in 1837 in Troy Grove, Illinois. James Butler Hickok was his original name, but the people around him referred to him as Duck Bill. And the reason for that is that he had a very long nose and his upper lip stuck out. Now, that's one of the reasons why he grew a mustache that eventually conceals it. But as he went along, he eventually goes out west and demonstrates a real skill with a pistol. And so old Duck Bill gives way to the term Wild Bill, and he was forever a different person. Now, he was a brave individual, and he really got his first reputation working under General Custer. And as is recorded in history, he did indeed save 34 men in an Indian siege in the Colorado Territory by riding through the attackers' ranks to get help. But he did not, as later on written in the Eastern Press, shoot 50 Confederate soldiers with 50 consecutive bullets during that time period. Another incident, and this is actually as a result of the Harper's Monthly, is a cornerstone to his reputation, is the story of, in 1861, he's 24 years old, and he terminated the so-called McCandless gang of 9 desperados, supposed to be horse thieves, murderers, etc., and so on. And it's supposed to be, according to the Harper's Monthly, one of the greatest one-man gunfights in history. The trouble is, there is no McCandless gang. There is a David, or a Dave McCandless, who was a rancher who was owed money by a freight company that had hired Hickok. McCandless, unarmed, went in to collect what he was due. An argument ensued between the manager, and then Hickok, who was hiding behind a curtain, shot the rancher dead. The gang fantasy comes from the fact that company officials then shot 2 unarmed friends that had accompanied McCandless to town. Now, Hickok is actually charged with murder over this issue, but was never convicted. So you have to make these different changes. One of the people who's most responsible for this from the writing standpoint is Colonel George Ward Nicholas, who had served with General Sherman and was Harper's Monthly's West correspondent. So there's a lot of this gets put in here. Prior to his death, Hickok was a sheriff in 2 western towns. He was hired by the city of Abilene, Kansas. There, the 34-year-old marshal was to clean up the town. In reality, he didn't do very much. He tended to take protection money from the gamblers and pimps and spent a lot of his time playing cards or visiting different rooms in the town's red light district. He's only on the job a few months when the citizens fired him. And they fired him for accidentally and recklessly killing his own deputy, who had come to his aid in a gunfight. One of the biographers wrote that although his record in Abilene was actually a sorry one, it is still cited today as one of the greatest reigns by a lawman in the history of the West. So it's really tough dealing with Wild Bill. Now, after Abilene, Hickok, believe it or not, his life goes downhill. He operated a little bit with Buffalo Bill Cody's Wild West show, but he considered that degrading. He then tried to prospect. He tried to be a professional gambler. But, you know, he's even arrested a few times as a vagrant. It's almost like the pinnacle of his life is the manner in which he died. That occurs in June of 1876. He's in Deadwood, South Dakota. You know, he's in the Nuttall and Mann's Saloon on number 10 Main Street. Played poker there almost every day, at least until August the 2nd. Of course, it's a boom town. It's a gold town. Hickok is there playing cards with three other gentlemen. They were enjoying the house specialty, which is whiskey and beans. That's got to be horrible later on in the day after having that. Now, normally, Hickok sat with his back to the wall to keep somebody from coming up from behind and shooting him. But on this day, he didn't pay any attention to that, and he was just sitting at a regular part of the table. And in comes a man named Jack McCall. His whole goal in life was to become a famous gunfighter. And, of course, what better way to become a famous gunfighter than to kill one? Of course, you know, you really should probably go outside and do that. But at any rate, this is what takes place. McCall supposedly has suspected Hickok of gunning down his brother. Later, at this man's trial, and I'll talk about this guy's trial a little bit later on, they ask him, they said, well, you know, if that were true, why didn't you just face him down one-on-one? And the guy said, hey, I didn't want to commit suicide. So this gentleman, Jack McCall, shoots Wild Bill through the back of his head, killing him instantly. And then the body falls backwards, and his card hand falls to the floor, which is the ace of spades, the ace of clubs, the eight of spades, and the eight of clubs with a jack of diamonds, which we today know as the dead man's hand. Now, before I talk about what happened to the shooter, let me give you a little editorial comment on the death of Wild Bill. This is from the Ellis County Star in Ellis, Kansas. Okay? This is from the 11th. This is an editorial that comes in here, and it says, we've learned from recent dispatches that Mr. J.B. Hickok, Wild Bill, known to the older citizens of Hayes City, was shot in the head and instantly killed by a man named Bill Sutherland. So sometimes you don't get your facts straight. While playing cards in a saloon in Deadwood Gulch, Wyoming. We also have a little trouble with the location, but, you know, hey, that's all right. From the report, it seems that Bill had killed a brother of Sutherland's in this city, which would have been, you know, in Hayes, in Ellis, several years ago, and revenge shot him, taking him unaware. This is the long-looked-for ending of the career of one who deserved a better fate. For nearly his whole life, Bill was on the frontier, a portion of the time acting as a scout, then as an officer of the law. He was elected sheriff of this county in 1868. He did good service in keeping order. While here, he killed several men, but all their acquaintances agree that he was justified in doing so. He never provoked a quarrel and was generous and a gentlemanly fellow. In person, he stood over 6 feet tall, broad shoulders, and a specimen of perfect manhood throughout. He was a dead shot, wonderfully quick in drawing and shooting, the latter faculty filling his enemies with very wholesome respect when in his presence. Living as he did in constant fear of his life, he always kept his revolvers with him, and had the fellow that shot him given him a fair fight and not taken the cowardly advantage, Wild Bill would not have been killed. Well, same date, May 11th, different newspaper. The Kansas Daily Commonwealth. It is disgusting to see the Eastern papers crowding in everything they can get hold of about Wild Bill. If they only knew the real character of the man they so want to worship. We doubt if their names will ever appear again, Wild Bill or Bill Hickok is nothing more than a drunken, reckless, murderous coward. Now that's telling it like it is, right? Who is treated with contempt by true border men and who should have been hung years ago for the murder of innocent men. The shooting of the old teamster in the back for a small provocation while crossing the plains in 1859 is one fact that Harper's correspondent failed to mention. And being booted out of a Leavenworth saloon by a boy bartender is another. We might name many other similar examples of his bravery. In one or two instances, he did the U.S. government good service, but his shameful and cowardly conduct more than overbalances the good. So, two newspapers, same state, different points of view. Now, let's get back to the gentleman who shot him, which is Mr. McCall. And obviously, you have a little trouble with the... of course, Deadwood is in South Dakota. It's not in Wyoming. And, of course, they had the wrong name. So, but, you know, things like this happen in the translation. Well, the day after shooting Wild Bill, they put Jack McCall on trial for murder. And despite, this is hard to believe, despite eyewitness testimony, McCall was acquitted after only a few minutes of deliberation. Now, he was acquitted not necessarily because of justice, but there was a news flash that had come into town that that an Indian raiding party was heading for Deadwood. And so the courtroom, they booed the acquittal, and then everybody went home to prepare for the worst. Okay, so the murder of Wild Bill was eclipsed by this massacre. So they buried him in the local graveyard, and then 3 years later, they moved his remains to Mount Moriah Cemetery, where he's eventually joined by his one-time friend, Calamity Jane. And the tombstone has an inscription that says, "Custer was lonely without him." And then there is supposedly a 14-inch lock of his shoulder-length hair that is in the New York Public Library's Western Collection. So if you're in New York City, check and see if that thing is still on display. Now, McCall eventually gets his just desserts. You know, his ambition to be a feared gunfighter prompted him, of course, to go around carelessly bragging that he had killed Wild Bill Hickok. Well, he was rearrested in 1876 and retried. Now you go, wait a minute, that's double jeopardy. Hey, this is the West. This is territory, not necessarily states at this point. And the reason that they got around the double jeopardy was it was argued that the first trial had been conducted in Indian territory with vigilante haste, and it was unsanctioned by the U.S. government. And they called in the saloon owner as the prosecution's star witness, and he gives his little background. He said, "I looked up, I saw the defendant raise a pistol and fire at Wild Bill's head. It kind of knocked Bill's head forward, and then he gradually fell back. The bullet came out on his face before he fell. I slipped off to get something to defend myself. Found guilty. The murderer was hanged on March the 1st, 1877. So, quite an interesting foray into the West. I know a lot of people are very fascinated with the American West, particularly people outside the United States. So it's not one of my specialties, but one of the professors that at our college is a Wild West expert. So I've been getting some materials and things from him. Here's some of the sources for this: Wild Bill Hickok, Man and Myth by Rosa, and The Life of Wild Bill Hickok by Buell. And then some of the excerpts I got from Pinotti's Extraordinary Endings by Pinotti. And there's a whole bunch of primary sources on the Spartacus History website, which is operated out of the UK. So, hope you enjoyed that. Don't forget to come by summahistorica.com, that's one word, and check out the website. There's a lot there, and there's going to be more coming. So, thank you very much.